Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Before we get started, I got to tell you guys about a new partner we have. We've partnered with a premier dispensary with smoking hot deals to offer Solace Meds. They have four convenient Colorado locations, one in Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DMVR bar on East Colfax. And one of the coolest things that they are doing right now is that they're giving away a trip to Jamaica for two in the month of April. All you got to do is head into one of their six locations. They have two in Oklahoma City. And you can sign up to win a trip to Jamaica. They'll give you all the details on how to enter, or you can visit www.solacemeds.com/sweepstakes to find out the rules. No purchase necessary, but if you do want to purchase something, use that promo code DMVR20 for 20% off and get your name in that raffle. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of Colorado 21 plus or Oklahoma 18 plus. Ends April 30th, 2021. Official rules, like I said, www.solacemeds.com/sweepstakes, void where prohibited. This raffle ends April 30th. So you got to go in now, show these guys some DNVR love, and make sure you get in before it ends on April 30th to win a trip to Jamaica. If you head in, let us know and tag us when you do.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
Gentlemen, dunk, two hands, Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look, you won't see it for long. Two-run home run, Trevor Story.
Lock, end zone, touchdown. Number two for Sutton.
Got it, oh man! That's from way downtown. And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center. Scott!
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. I am your host, Allie Monroy, and with me today I've got Drew Kreisman, AJ Hafley, Andre Simone, and Eric Weedham slash D-Line. Drew is opening up a Breck Brew Hop Peak IPA. I have got a good company seltzer, and wow. Drew and I have been having Wi-Fi issues, which I think I'm having again. Are we good?
Top notch Wi-Fi.
Okay, we've been having Wi-Fi issues, so we need this for this Friday.
No doubt.
Cheers. Today, you guys can tell by the headline, we are talking about best draft classes in Denver sports history. The NFL draft is right around the corner, happening next week. We are doing an incredible draft day live like we've done for all of our other sports. So that's going to be awesome with Andre, Henry, and Ryan hosting, having a bunch of guests. Definitely check that out next Thursday. Be sure to follow our YouTube so you can see all of that. But yeah, so drafts coming up. We're going to talk best draft classes. And I'm actually going to start with AJ because I feel like last night before the Avs game, we were talking about a lot of different draft classes, and it's kind of hard to narrow down. AJ said there's like one I feel like is the best, but then there's others that are pretty close or could be even better in the future. So AJ, let's start with you. What do you think is the best draft class in Avs history?
So I think we got to start with 1998. They had four first round picks because the Avs wanted. The goal was for the Avs to trade all four of those first rounders, move all the way up to number one, and take Vincent LeCavalier, who Pierre Lacroix absolutely adored. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning said, great, we'll take all four of those first rounders and Peter Forsberg, and we'll give you the chance to take LeCavalier. The Avs were like, that's crazy. We aren't going to do that. We'll hold on to Forsberg and the four first rounders. They used the four first rounders. They got four NHL players out of it, three of whom were on the 2001 Stanley Cup team. They got Alex Tanguay, Martin Skoula, Robin Regier, and Scott Parker. Now, all of those names are familiar to longtime Avalanche fans. Alex Tanguay is one of the better forwards in team history. Martin Skoula was around for a few years. Never quite lived up to his full billing, but had a nice career, was a legit NHL player, a good defenseman for a couple of years. And Scott Parker, sounds crazy to use a first-round pick on an enforcer, given that enforcers don't even have jobs in the NHL anymore, but when you have four of them, why not, right? And Parker was a good one. He was one of the best face punchers of his generation. You know, everybody loves the sheriff.
One of the best face punchers.
He was a really good face puncher.
I'm gonna have to go Google face puncher highlights.
He was a legitimately good fighter. There were a lot of guys that were willing to fight in that era who weren't really that good at fighting. Scott Parker would hurt you.
He was a
dude that other dudes stayed up late at night thinking that guy's gonna punch me in the face tomorrow. And that was not an appealing option. So four guys in the first round didn't do much with the other picks that they had. Philippe Sauvée had a cup of coffee. Steve Moore was the other guy that came out of that draft class where
Thanks.
Obviously there's a big giant what if there, you know, who knows? Maybe if Todd Bertuzzi was less of a piece of shit and didn't end his career because he was mad, then who knows? But the story of that draft class, those four first rounders, Robin Regier, obviously, he was included in the Theo Fleury deadline deal shortly after, so he never played for the Avs, but ended up playing 1,000 games in the NHL.
Wow.
So all four guys, I mean, four first round picks, all of them ended up legit NHL players. It's hard to do today. It was really hard to do in 1998, and to get three guys who contributed on a cup championship team 3 years later, that's the gold standard.
You guys last night were talking about how this last draft might be a great one with Alex Newhook, Bowen Byram, and a few others, that they might be up there if they perform the way we believe they will once they get to the NHL.
Yeah, this next class, the class that you could say right now the could be is definitely the 19 class. Obviously, Bowen Byram, Alex Newhook in the first round.
Yeah.
Those guys are off to great starts. Bowen Byram's already in the NHL. And for a 19-year-old, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that I've spent the last 30 years watching every teenage kid come into the NHL. But it's in the 10 years in which I have been watching the NHL like I do now, I have never seen a teenager as defensively advanced as Bowen Byram. And that was not the expectation. That was not his hype when he was coming in. It was going to be about offense first, and then we'll see defensively.
Yeah.
And defensively, he ended up being exceptional with the offense lagging far behind. So
reminds me of a third baseman.
Yeah. We'll see right
now. Yeah.
If he can get to that kind of level while Cale Makar and Sam Girard are still there, like, I'm not going to get into this again, but Alex Newhook, like,
this is my favorite song right now.
Alex Newhook tore up college hockey for 2 years, went to the WJCs, showed well for Team Canada, and then has been promoted into the AHL and has 3 AHL games under his belt and has scored in 2 of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's scoring goals, and people are loving it. Every single Avs show, people are in the comments about Alex Newhook and Rampo Santa.
Sampo Ranta is definitely another guy to be excited about. The other guys in that 19 draft class, though, Drew Helison, a rugged defenseman, more of a defensive defenseman type. I've always said that if he maxes out, he's Adam Foote. And he just had a big time breakout second year at Boston College. Still, so again, this class is still almost all potential.
Yeah.
But it's trending in the direction that makes you very excited. Drew Helison's first year was very, very mediocre and very forgettable. But his second year was exactly what you wanted. And right now he's in line to get a contract at the end of his junior year next year and start his pro career. And be an important player for the Avs because he's big and he's physical and he's mean and he brings an edge that the Colorado defense currently is a little lacking in. And he's also right-handed, which in the NHL is a big deal for defensemen. They're very hard to find. So you've got that guy. Mid-round picks are always a who knows. Matt Steinberg has kind of been a ghost this year. He got hurt and we don't really know anything else. He just sort of disappeared. Alex Bocage has been one of the elite goal scorers in the queue for the last couple of years and should be turning pro any day now with an ELC and has an NHL caliber shot right now. Has to figure out how to use it in pro hockey, has to figure out how to be a pro hockey player, and his skating is going to be a problem. We'll see if he can, if that can get up to speed in the pros. But That is a guy with a lot of hype. And then the last couple of guys, Sasha Mutala, Luca Berzan, guys that we like on the Avs side of things, you never know. Trent Miner is a goaltender who went back to juniors and put up 5 shutouts in 6 games.
Ooh.
So the Avs have to decide if they want to give him a contract or not. That's a pretty good way to get to win an argument. So that's the 2019 class could be amazing.
Yeah.
Even if it just ends up Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook, it's got the chance to be very, very good.
When we were talking about this topic that we wanted to do this week, I was talking to AJ and I was like, no way we could. Some of our other shows, we talk about best athlete, best moment, and we can all like decide on one together, which one's the absolute best between Denver sports, but all the drafts are just so different. And I mean, hearing AJ talk about, you know, like the juniors and just the AHL, and there's just, and then Drew, you also agree, you've got the minors, like it's so different compared to basketball and football, baseball and hockey. So there's no way for us to choose really one, especially because baseball, I mean, how many guys get drafted, Drew?
Hundreds.
Like hundreds, the Rockies get like how many guys compared to the Nuggets who get, or the basketball, the NBA, it gets like 2 or 3. And then obviously 6 or 7 for NHL and NFL. There we go. Too many little acronyms. My brain is like, which one?
You got it.
So it's hard. So we're not going to choose an ultimate winner, but we are just going to discuss each one. So let's move on. Let's keep it at Ballerina and let's move to Eric. Talk about the Nuggets. What is the Nuggets' best draft class?
Well, the Nuggets' best draft class is an obvious one, I believe. It happened not that long ago. And if you look at the official Wikipedia page, you might miss it. Because in 2014, it says the Denver Nuggets selected with their first round pick Doug McDermott out of Creighton.
Dougie Buckets.
Doug McBuckets.
Exciting
which is
stuff.
True. Yeah, which is true. They did draft Doug McDermott, but they drafted Doug McDermott for the Chicago Bulls because they had made a trade to acquire the rights of one Gary Harris. And then they also got pick from the Bulls that they conveyed into Yusuf Nurkic that same year. And then in the second round, they got a player you may have heard. His name is Nikola Jokic, of course. They picked him number 41. There was a quesarito on the screen while it happened. Yep. It was a big deal.
That's like his claim to fame, honestly, here in Denver. You know, it's just the quesarito being on the screen.
When Taco Bell said that they were canceling the quesarito, all I could think about was Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, I know. We all felt slighted. And frankly, as long as I'm starting fights on the internet, I think I might pick it up with Taco Bell. Let them know if they messed up again.
I think you can still order that, but you have to have the app, right?
Yeah. Or you have to have a second round pick in order to do it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what it is. That's the one. Thanks, Eric.
So, this was like really exciting at the time. I remember Nikola Jokic was obviously like, I knew of him a little bit because I may have told you the story. Like I sat in my cubicle, a cubicle that was across from me. It was a guy that was from Greece. And so he was like very, very tuned in to that region of the world. And so he was telling me a little bit about how Nikola Jokic had won MVP of the Adriatic League. And you should be, you know, and so that was like kind of exciting. But as far as we knew, he was just going to be a quote unquote draft and stash, and he would just play out in the European leagues. We'd hear tale of him, maybe he'd come over. But he ended up coming over right away. And then Yusuf Nurkic, you know, I absolutely hate him now. And the reason I hate him is because I loved him. Same thing with Carmelo Anthony. Like he.
Don't get Drew started on. Don't bring up Carmelo Anthony.
Well, this is frankly, that's on Drew if he wants to bring it up. But I'm saying like Yusuf Nurkic is just like he comes into the league. The story with Yusuf Nurkic is that he was just this. There was an NBA or a basketball scout that came across Nurkic's dad. Nurkic's dad is like. Somehow he's like 6'9", like almost 400 pounds, and he's a police officer. He's just this giant mass of a human being. And the scout asked him if he had a son, and he was like, I do have a son. And so he like got him into basketball. And that's Yusuf Nurkic.
What a just story.
This, yeah, super weird story. So he's just this giant Bosnian. And when he first came over, he was named the Bosnian Bear. And then it turned into the Bosnian Beast. And then it turned into the asshole. Now we all hate him because he quit on the Nuggets. And he
adult language, Eric. It is still quit on the 3 o'clock. Well,
AJ used the S word earlier, so I felt entitled. But he. So he.
AJ's face.
Yeah, but he, you know, like the first while that Nurkic was here, he, you know, like he went up against Boogie Cousins and he like blocked him and he clowned him. He like knocked him down and pointed at him. And I was like, what? This is incredible. Cause the Nuggets had just been pushed around for years and years. And Gary Harris, you know, Gary Harris was very slow coming out of the gates. It's sad because two of these three guys have now been traded, but they were very fundamental to the rebirth that the Nuggets are now enjoying the fruits of. But, you know, at the time I didn't quite know what we had, but it did feel promising. I loved that Tim Connelly was like such a wheeler and dealer on draft night, which he has continued that trend. That's like who he is. He's always like looking to turn one pick into two. And sometimes that turns into you draft, you know,
Tyler Lydon.
Yeah. You end up, you know, you draft, Donovan Mitchell and it turns into Tyler Lydon because he tried to be slick, but every now and again it works. Like this most recent draft, this could be another situation where you know, it's very recent, so we don't know exactly how it would have turned out. It's hard to say it would be now, but when we got both Zeke Nnaji and also RJ Hampton, who, you know, if the Nuggets are able to actually do something with Aaron Gordon under our roof with you know, the trade we were able to make with RJ Hampton, that will end up looking really good. But the other draft class that is, you know, sort of scratches that is 2016, where we got Juancho Hernangómez. This was another one where we ended up getting more picks by trading. Obviously the first pick we got Jamal Murray, the number 7 pick, the very obvious pick. But then we got Juancho Hernangómez and Malik Beasley, who are two great players. Because of Conley's success in the draft, we just had so many players. We just had so many good players that nobody could, like, half of them couldn't get any minutes. So we just had these, like, really transcendent players that were just sitting on the bench. So it's hard to, like, really say that those were, that ended up being a really great draft class for the Nuggets because it didn't super benefit them. We ended up having to trade Hernan Gomez and Beasley for just one draft pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that trade was just a little better, then that draft class could have meant just a little more. And totally, I mean, Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez did great things for, like, the culture of the Nuggets. And, like, fans loved them. But just, like, okay, Andre, roll your eyes. But, like, production on the court, of course, was just not equivalent to, like, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, yeah. And I was, like, scanning back through the annals of time here to see if there were any other amazing draft classes. And I have to say, there were not. Nope. There were, like, Andre, a couple good players. His head. A couple good players every now and again. You get a Dikembe Mutombo, but then you pair him with a Mark Macon. I mean, we got, like, Jalen Rose. You paired that with a Brent Berry. It's just, you know, a lot of, like, oh, I mean, it really explains why the Nuggets were just in a terrible wasteland for years and years and years and years and years. And what it means, like the difference between having, you know, competent management at top with an actual plan in place and, like, how quickly you can turn around an entire organization and how, you know, like, one thing begets another, begets another, begets another. And now, you know, we're in a place where we're actually not just crying for people to pay attention to the Nuggets. They're actually paying attention to them. So it's a beautiful thing. But that all started in 2014.
Yeah.
We should just give you a round of applause. You ended that so well. You tied full circle. Speaking of just the Nuggets and the Avs, we had a In Your Feels Avs show last night that was so great. Avs fans, highly recommend going to listen, especially the ending of that. And basically, AJ and Rudo were just saying, like, and so many people in the comments, which was just so great, is that these runs with the Nuggets and the Avs are even more fun because of the community that we have around each other. And, like, being able to come to the DNVR bar, watch a Nuggets game. Like I said last week, like, if you're a Nuggets fan, you guys, you got to come down here. It is just such a fun environment. Same with the Avs, but I feel like you really have, there's nowhere in Denver that has, like, this type of energy. Like, when Gary was still on the team, they were, like, chanting Gary Harris.
Yeah.
It felt so good. And I just feel like there's no other real bar or anything like that has that environment except the arena. So Nuggets fans, you definitely have to come down here. Avs fans, it is so much fun. There's so many great memories. And basically, like, this would obviously still be incredible, but you just have such a family, a community that makes it even better. And we appreciate you all listening to the show and listen and who support us along the way. Because, I mean, this has been just like the Nuggets and the Avs. This has been a process. You know, it's been years and years. And to get to the point we are now with both these teams and DNVR is just really, really incredible.
It's so true. And the thing about it happening this year of all years is you can't go to Ball Arena. You can't go to Pepsi Center. Like, there's something it's a kismet that we were, you know, sort of building this community and all these good feelings over this past year when you couldn't really do anything. And now the teams are returning in kind and actually becoming incredible. It's like, now we all have all of these people that are paying attention to this ride. And it seems like it actually might pay off. And if you come to a Nuggets game on a weekday when it's not that busy, there's a good chance that we will force you to drink Rakia.
Well, that's just one of the perks, you know. You get to drink some Rakia. We gotta have AJ try some Rakia. That would be a fun video. See how he reacts. Look at his face. I don't think he's had Rakia just yet.
everybody who drinks it, everyone who drinks it goes, "Oh, that's not as bad as you made it seem." And it's true. I make it seem much worse because
Michaela, like, shivered. Like, Michaela got, like, the shakes.
Michaela had the bad full body reaction.
That's a preview of what I'm going to look like when I try it.
It's intense. I'm not going to lie to you. It is very intense. But
it tasted like strong whiskey, which it's not supposed to taste like whiskey at all. I got yelled. Like, I got looks when I said that. But
it's plum brandy or pear brandy.
To me, it tasted like whiskey. But Andre, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that sounds like the Serbian equivalent of calling turkey dry at Thanksgiving. Some things you just don't do, and comparing rakia to whiskey is one of those.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
I apologize.
Should we just shut this down?
Anyways, I had a great transition, and you guys distracted me. I'm trying to get it back, but I really don't remember it. It's a great time to be a DNVR member. You get to come down to the bar. You get member-sized beers. And also, if you're a Breck Brew fan, we've got Breck Brew on tap. What kind of accent was that? And we are going to Rumor on the Street is we're going to get some good company seltzers in here, so you get to try them. There are so many great things. When you sign up to become a DNVR member, you get to add it onto the DNVR Lounge Discord, which just I've told you guys so many times before is like a community. And if you're just watching us on YouTube and you do not know who we are, go to thednvr.com or you're just listening to the podcast for the first time. We just do an excellent job 5 days a week, cover all the sports. These guys kill it. Like I said, draft show coming up. It's really for the diehard fans. And right now, if you sign up to become a member, you get an annual DNVR member. You get a free shirt of your choice from the DNVR locker, but you will also get a recovery holistic stick from Holistic Wellness. You guys all know we love CBD products, and Holistic Wellness is just one of them. It's like a little stick that you put in your drink, and it helps you with aches and pains, tiredness, migraines, all that type of stuff. And if you go to holisticwellness.com, use the promo code DNVR30, and you will get 30% off your first purchase. So definitely check that out. And it's just, it's such a fun community, guys. It's awesome to see you guys and meet you guys. And that's a reminder, if you come down to the DNVR bar and you see us wandering around, don't be shy. Come say hi. We love meeting you. We love talking to you. At least I do. I guess I can't speak for everyone else here, but.
Yeah, don't talk to me. I've got my own dress going on.
All right. The Nuggets play tonight. I have been just obsessed with Michael Porter Jr. three-pointers on DraftKings Sportsbook because it's just giving you free money. Go get that. Go be a part of that. Andre, what are a few other bets that you would place tonight for the Nuggets?
For the Nuggets, I love Will Barton. I think this is a Will Barton night over 14 and a half. You can ride that easily. And then you know, Drew's got a member of my circle of trust on the mound tonight for the Rockies as
Head
well.
Headman?
So, good day of wagering all around in this gorgeous city, yes.
You got to like it when he's on the mound. Good chance for the Rockies to win. That was my DraftKings pick of the week on the other show. So
there you go.
Oh, nice.
Now you double dipped. If you got that, you got to watch Rockies podcast to get those normally. But you got lucky to take the Rocks tonight.
It doesn't sound like double dipping. That sounds like getting to skip your show. We already got the info.
No.
Why would you do such a thing?
I'm just kidding. 24/7
Colorado Rockies.
I would never miss it.
The Nuggets are on tonight. The Rockies are on. Definitely check that out. Like I said, come down to the DNVR bar. But we've also got some UFC happening this weekend. And right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering you could turn $5 into $130 in free bets if the title contender of your choice wins. You got to download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code DNVR to get in on that deal. Place your bet and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code DNVR to turn $5 into $130 in free bets if the fighter of your choosing takes home the crown. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'll get fast to that. Everyone else on this can read those so quickly. You know, it just takes me a little longer, but I'll get there. Before we get into Broncos and Rockies, Strava Craft Coffee. If we're not drinking Breck Brews, we are drinking some Strava Craft Coffee. We have it on tap at the DNVR bar. They're cold brew. It is so good. I highly recommend it. It wakes you up. As Brendan Vogt says, you're honking like a goose when you drink it. So they also will have a stand at our golf tournament tomorrow. Ooh. So in the morning before golf, you'll be able to have some Strava Craft Coffee. And they're one of our longest partners, and they're not feeling the love like they normally do from you guys. So please, we've always told you guys, supporting our partners really helps support us. So you can save 25% off your first purchase when you use the code DNVR25. definitely go check that out. And like I said, you can get it at the DMVR bar. You can order it. There's a monthly subscription, so you never run out of coffee. And then you can get it at the golf tournament tomorrow, which is going to be so much fun.
That's going to be confusing. We won't know if it's the actual geese that are honking or the members.
Oh, God. Well, I'm just saying. Eric's going to be like on the fourth hole, literally actually honking. I can imagine that happening if we had Strava and Breck.
We all have a role to play, Allie. We all have a role.
I'm glad that yours is acting like a goose.
Honking like a goose. Huh?
Well, in the process of acting like one, you will also honk.
She's got you there, Eric. She got you there.
All right, Andre. Let's move on to the NFL. Who do you think is the best draft class in Broncos history?
It's a fun little debate. It all centers around a couple different draft classes that, like AJ's, the Avs were key in some championship runs. Obviously, Eric with the Nuggets didn't have such an option when he was sifting through his draft classes for the Nuggets.
Unreal.
But I presume that's why, like, AJ, you didn't pick a draft like the 09 draft, where on paper, Duchesne, O'Reilly, Tyson Berry looks great, but not a great feels draft for Avs fans.
Like a great draft class.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great draft class. They accomplished nothing.
Correct. Correct. And to hope that this podcast isn't remembered the same way, I give you three draft classes for the Broncos.
Oh,
1983,
wow.
Pulling off the Elway trade to start the draft. Then you end the draft with the greatest 12th round pick of all time, Carl Mecklenburg. And you also have a longtime backup. Oh, and by the way, your head coach who won you another Super Bowl, and Gary Kubiak. So that's a fun draft class. And then it really comes down to the draft classes that built a Super Bowl 50 team. You could go 2010, where they got Demaryius Thomas. McDaniels' final draft was kind of a wacky one. Tebow's in that one and what have you. But it really is going to come down to 2011, where you have Von Miller, Raheem Moore, obviously not remembered well, but a key starter for his first 4 years. Orlando Franklin, another key starter, and Julius Thomas, who, while he was a bit of a shooting star, that stretch he had under Peyton Manning was really spectacular. So you have, you know, two stars and two solid starters there. The 2012 draft, where you have no first rounders, though, you really kind of built the basis of that no-fly zone defense, especially in the front seven with Derek Wolfe, Malik Jackson, and Danny Trevathan. You also had Brock Osweiler, obviously a key contributor to that Super Bowl season. So it's a fun debate. I think 83 is the more epic one when you have two guys that are going to be in the, you know, in the ring of fame. That's hard to beat, especially when it's arguably, you know, the greatest player in franchise history and one of the five greatest defenders in franchise history. But I think 2011 with Vaughn in there could really give 83 a run for its money. So it's really between those two.
What do you guys think, since he brought it up as a debate, 83 or 2011?
Well, fill us in. Like, who is the defensive? You just assume everybody knows all these players. Elway and who?
Mecklenburg.
Okay.
He said that.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Pay attention, Eric.
I'm sorry.
You're looking at the Slack because Ryan's not on the podcast and making the Slack go off. So.
Oh, no. I was looking at Twitter.
Oh, well.
Don't be that guy.
You got to go Elway. It's got to be Elway. Elway's draft is the winning draft. I mean, that's you in that draft, you select a player that ultimately defines the city of Denver for many, many decades. So right. I don't know how you can get around that. Like, I mean, Von Miller is incredible. That's an incredible draft and also netted Super Bowls. But John Elway was Denver for like until probably now. Yeah, he probably still is. So.
AJ Drew, you guys agree?
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. I mean, from a purely football perspective, there's a bunch of draft classes that would be in contention, I think. But from an impact and cultural perspective, and even though obviously, yes, they didn't pick him, but
right,
you know, we're cool with the Nuggets drafts where they drafted Like, again, like they didn't Doug draft Gary Harris.
Yeah, the Doug McDermott draft.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just kind of at this point, that's semantics. For all meaningful intents and purposes, he's that draft class. And Elway, I mean, the Broncos and Elway, like, without their success, you know, if Elway never comes
right
to Denver, yeah, and they just roll along with, you know, who knows, quarterbacks or whatever, they never have that superstar. They never have that, like, city-defining superstar. Mm-hmm. Is Denver Kansas City? You know, right. Do they not end up with Abs multiple? Do the Avs and Rockies not happen because Elway put Denver on the sports map in such a major and meaningful way?
Yeah,
from a cultural standpoint, like,
geez,
is this
that's a really good point?
Town? Yeah,
that would be crazy.
Like,
or maybe a one sport town, because the Nuggets are just on so stand. They're like, forget Denver altogether. It's just the Floyd Little Broncos forever, and we're talking about Bronc life, you know? And like, will we ever win a playoff game at home? Yeah. Yeah, AJ, what a dark alternate reality you've depicted. I think 83, we can all agree, greatest draft in Denver sports history. So we've accomplished our goal with this podcast. Good for us.
Oh. I mean, with AJ's argument of it would be Kansas City and it'd be the Broncos and Nuggets, I guess that's true.
Greatest, we could call it the most important.
Right, greatest. Yeah, we agree totally.
He's saying greatest and important are different.
The sun would have never shined on Denver. Just be snowy year round if that draft doesn't occur. I couldn't agree with you more.
We don't have automobiles. It's still horses and carriages.
Yeah. Wow. John Elway did so much for this state.
That's right. Old Cowtown, it would still smell like Fort Collins in Denver. I couldn't agree more with you, AJ.
Fort Collins also?
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch, you take that back. That was inflammatory. That was inflammatory. It was false. Yeah, you're talking about the number one rated place to live, as rated by Better Homes and Gardens many years in a row. All right.
Actually,
okay. I'm pretty sure Boulder has been listed as the place to live, and then Denver. Boulder and then Denver. It doesn't matter. They've still been rated the best place to live.
Born and raised.
That's fine, but like,
I have lived in Colorado long enough to know you say Greeley when you say that. You don't bring up Fort
Collins. Yeah, I was very confused about Fort Collins.
Inflammatory. I'm sorry. I forgot. Yeah, I'm really sorry.
I'm just saying, Boulder has won a lot of rewards. I'm not going to. So is Denver.
Boulder's great if you come from out of state, or you come from California, or you're very rich. And otherwise, if you love Colorado, the people of Colorado, kind people, Fort Collins is the place. All right, continue.
Okay, that's for another podcast. I won't go into it. What, Drew?
Drew? Sorry. Hello.
Goodness. All right. Well, next week's The Denver Sports Podcast is going to be all about the draft. I was going to ask Andre, like, thoughts on how he's feeling, what he thinks is actually going to happen. The Broncos have the 9th overall pick on next Thursday. So that's going to be an interesting one. George Payton came out and said that they are possibly going to get a QB. So it's going to be an interesting one. Like I said, check out our draft show. And then next week's The Denver Sports Podcast is going to have the Broncos guys, the draft guys, and we're going to talk about what the Broncos did the first night of the draft. So definitely check that out. So we won't get into it right now. There's a bunch of preview series on our YouTube. You should check that out, because they go into targets at 9, what happens if they trade up, what happens if they trade down. So if you're interested in that type of topic, conversation, check out our YouTube and all that stuff. So, Drew, let's finish off with the MLB and the Rockies. What do you think is the Rockies' best draft class?
So, like you were saying earlier, this is like...
It's hard for you guys. It's really
tough with baseball, because like there's a similar to the John Elway argument where you could just go to 2009 and say they drafted Nolan Arenado, and that's kind of it. Like, that's the best... especially when you see where they got him. Actually, in 2009, they drafted him. It was, what, the 59th
overall pick. Here are the three players the Rockies drafted before drafting Nolan Arenado. Tyler Matzek with the 11th overall pick, which his career in Colorado is misremembered a little bit. He actually did have some decent years with Colorado and then has since regained his form elsewhere. Tim Wheeler. Remember Tim Wheeler with the 32nd overall pick? The 34th overall pick was Rex Brothers. And then with the 59th overall pick, they drafted Nolan Arenado. So again, baseball drafts are weird like this, where the best player is not even AJ. It's just not having it.
Rex Brothers was one of like my big heartbreaks for a prospect. I loved Rex Brothers. I thought he was going to be an elite reliever. He had all the stuff.
He was for like one season.
He had all the stuff to be a special like left-handed like impact reliever, not just a loogie. And right.
These names hurt to hear you list off. So much hope. So much hope.
Yeah. Just a few other big leaguers who were also taken in that draft. Ben Paulson and Rob Scahill, Dustin Garneau, just organizational guys. But sneakily way down in the 29th round, Corey Dickerson was also taken in the 2009 draft. So, again, this is like one of those Yeah, I mean, and then Dickey had a couple of nice years for the Rockies. Then it gets included in the trade to Tampa Bay to bring back Armand Marquez, one of the best pitchers in franchise history. So that 2009 draft is pretty dang solid, and especially if you're inclined to go with just top end. Like, they really only had two picks from this draft hit, but they were Nolan Arenado and Corey Dickerson. The rest of these guys were okay for the Rockies at best. Like we said, one great year out of Matzek, one great year out of Rex Brothers, and then whatever. In 2012, they had another draft like that where, you know, David Dahl, Eddie Butler, Tom Murphy were their top three of their top four picks, all guys that made it to the big leagues. But there's a depth there. I actually do think that 2013 is the best draft in Rockies history, unless again you're just going Nolan Arenado is trump card, they win. But it's certainly the draft where they got the most number of picks correctly, getting John Gray and Ryan McMahon with their first couple of picks. Gray is going to have a bunch of franchise records by the time is done here, even if it's after this season. Ryan McMahon's finally looking like the all-star we believed he could be. Dom Nunez was also taken in that draft. Don't forget about guys like Pat Valaika and Mike Tauchman, who have been major league contributors. Night. You gotta love the late night.
What, AJ? Oliver,
like, he's going. He's not having it.
Nothing. You gave me a like disgusted look because I said late night.
Nothing wrong with the late night, and that's the thing. Like baseball drafts, they're so like. Do you want to go with the one where they ended up with six big league contributors, none of whom were superstars, or the one where they missed on the vast majority of their picks, including their first, second, and third overall. But with their fourth pick, they drafted arguably the greatest third baseman of all time. So that one wins.
And a 29th pick that netted them ultimately, arguably the greatest pitcher in franchise, you know.
And that's the other thing. When you land a great, like like, there's this question, I think, in the NBA. Sometimes people talk about the Nikola Jokic pick, right? Where, like, did the Nuggets get a little bit lucky that the fact that he was there, nobody knew about him, nobody knew what he was going to turn into. In hindsight, we go, what a great pick. But on the night of, there was a Taco Bell commercial on the screen, and nobody, you know, was going bananas crazy. And it's kind of the same thing. When you get a guy in the 29th round who ends up having a 10-plus year career and being a plus hitter for it, you just go, okay, but that happens in baseball. You know, Scott Oberg was taken in the 15th round.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Germán Márquez was never a top 100 prospect, was never considered a top guy. When the Rockies acquired him in that deal, it was called the Jake McGee, Corey Dickerson trade. You know?
Drew, can I ask a question? Why? No. why, why oh,
Okay. But real quick, Eric, yes. Before you ask the question, we've got so many people coming in recently in the comments, and they're giving their thoughts for Avs, Nuggets. They're confused as to how we are not talking about Nikola Jokic. We already talked about all that stuff. Go listen to it earlier. You're just a little bit late. But okay, Eric, ask your question to Drew.
Why is it important in the world of baseball that you draft 400 guys every year? Why is it that baseball players must be gestated over a period of 20 years in order to be able to play Major League Baseball?
Yeah, this is a great question, especially because there's some evidence to suggest it's probably not necessary to have had 40 rounds or even 30 rounds in the draft. And there's a debate going on, and they're trying to pare that down a little bit. And I think that's...
Is it like an industrial military complex where you just have so many minor league teams that you have to stock them?
That's part of it. Like you do, you know, you need different levels, and then you need each one of those levels to be fully stocked with arms. And so like bullpen guys, like and catchers and stuff, like you need a certain number of organizational dudes. But there's also the real baseball fact of like, it's a technical skill based game, and it's very, very difficult to determine, even with the best scouts and analytics and all the best stuff in the world, if a guy's going to be able to hit a 91 mile an hour slider until he sees one. Yeah. And he may not see one until he gets to double A. He may not see one until he gets to the major leagues. And there's just so many stages along the way. You know, can you hit a 94 mile an hour fastball? Okay, well, then maybe you can play at single A. Can you hit a 96 mile an hour fastball that's well located? That's a whole other story. And it's just baseball finds a way of weeding out the guys. But yeah, it's amazing. You'll still see someone like Josh Fuentes, who did not get drafted, went undrafted through back when there were 40 rounds. And still finds
that stuff is crazy to me.
Into a job. And because what he did essentially was show up on the day and show to the coaches, oh man, he didn't, none of the technical skills, right? The body stuff didn't look right. The swing didn't look right. But when the 96 mile an hour fastball arrived, he hit it. And we all just have to go. So baseball is frustrating in that way. Like you think you've got it figured out. Look at Trevor Story right now. You know, the guy swung and missed at a 93 mile an hour fastball right down the middle to strike out the other day, the runner on third base and nobody out. And you just go, how it's a brutal game. It's so difficult. And so it's just, the difference between being okay and good and great in baseball is such a thin margin.
And I mean, we did do a podcast, I believe, around this time last year, talking about which draft system was the best between all four sports. And I think we talked about how hard the NFL is, because some of these guys, they have to hit or else they're done. Compared to, you see, with baseball, they have a little more time to really develop. And same with
20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And same with basketball. Denver with the G League team, things will be different. But we did do a podcast. So if you're interested in that, it is some way, I think it was around a year ago before the NFL draft. So definitely check that out.
This is a great example. This is a story Drew Goodman just told on the DNVR Rockies podcast. So everyone should go and listen to that, especially since I gave you some free content earlier. talking about the Houston Astros, right? Considered one of the smartest teams in baseball over the last several years from an analytics standpoint. They kind of tanked on purpose, lost 100 games several seasons in a row so that they could stock up on great, you know, number one overall. They had 1-1 3 years in a row in the Houston Astros. Year number one, they drafted Carlos Correa. That's a fantastic pick. The guy's a star player. He's going to continue to be a star player. He's going to get a huge contract. Year two, they drafted Mark Appel, who retired after double A. In year three, they drafted a guy named Brady Aiken, who didn't even sign with them immediately over contract issues. And then he couldn't end up back, and he ended up getting hurt, and he's never made it.
They were right about that, though.
They were right about
that. And they got Alex Bregman out of it.
But when you look back to three straight years of 1-1 picks in Major League Baseball and see that two of them never made it to the bigs, never really got that close. Like that's just kind of mine. Meanwhile, 15th round, Scott Oberg, 29th round, Corey Dickerson. second round Nolan Arenado.
Well, or even the Astros, that 1-1 pick that does work is all a way to save money so they had more money for the other picks. Like Carlos Correa wasn't given as the consensus number one pick in that draft. They draft him to save money on purpose, and he's the guy who ends up working out. You know, it's crazy that way.
Yeah, baseball is wild, man.
This was a great episode, guys. I really enjoyed this talk, and it's just so interesting to see past conversation, like past drafts and how they turned out and the effects that they had in Denver sports and these recent drafts that could have a similar effect in the future. Like AJ said last night, we are possibly in a golden age. I'm going to knock on wood, touch wood, whatever you say, to not jinx that. But we are entering, hopefully, a golden age, or we're already in a golden age of Denver sports, and it's really exciting to see. We're not done yet, though, because we've got who won the week, and I think the Avs are going to win, but we'll see. They secured a playoff spot for the fourth straight year. I don't know, AJ, if that was going to be your argument, but let's move on to who won the week, and then we will be done. But first, Mike and Virginia will work tirelessly. Sometimes words are hard, guys. Tirelessly to find the best loan for your situation, whether you're looking at refinancing your current mortgage or buying a new home. Like I said, Mike and Virginia will make that process as simple and smooth as possible. Plus, they're big Denver sports fans, big Denver Broncos fans. You should check them out. Like I said, supporting our sponsors supports us. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat when you do. Most importantly, get set up with a free consultation to discuss all of your options. Like I said, dnvrmortgage.com enters you to win a free shirt and hat when you do. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. Getting better.
Booyah.
All right.
You really nailed that NMLS.
NMLS.
Looking at this.
NMLS.
LMLP.
Numbles.
Milan wants you out, Eric, and wants Adam.
Milan, listen. if you want Adam, you can get your fill of Adam. I mean, I understand the desire, but, I mean, please.
Harsh.
And then we've got, where is it? Max saying, I think a worst draft class in Denver sports history would be fun as hell. I think that
done.
I would get yelled at.
And
be told that is a Monday-ass topic.
It's a Monday
topic. That is a Monday-ass topic.
Instead of a Friday one. So I agree that would be an interesting one. Last time I did best worst, everyone did it like the worst one. So I don't know what to tell you. Ryan said came in to say Makar for the Norris. Here's
no doubt.
He's a Norrisman.
No doubt.
But, okay, I think I got to all the comments. We've got a lot of people here. Hello, DNVR World. Hello from Serbia. Hello from Italy. We appreciate you guys all watching.
Our Serbian brothers.
Okay. Who won the week?
Who did the most and who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
Just love it. All right, let's go with Andre first.
I think there's an obvious answer this week.
Yes, I said that already. You weren't listening.
I don't know that there is.
Week.
I said that.
I don't know if you know this, but no.
All right, Andre, go.
Yeah, the Broncos win the week because the odds of Mac Jones in the third overall pick by the San Francisco 49ers are only increasing. It's seeming more and more like a lock, which is going to open up the world for the Broncos at the ninth pick or trade up options, whether it's a transcendent tackle in Penei Sewell or two potential franchise quarterbacks in Trey Lance or Justin Fields. It's all working out great for new GM, George.
Time. Wow. Oh, you ended that like a newscaster.
I did.
It's all working out in the end for George Payton. Coming up next at 9.
I see people around the company creating fire content on video and stuff. Just got to remind people who the king is, you know.
All right, Eric. Why did the Nuggets win the week? Go. Oh, no. Hold on. I've got to reset.
No, stop. Go.
The Denver Nuggets won the week.
Too late. No, too late. You're done.
You get these fools.
Go. Over, Eric.
The Denver Nuggets won the week.
Stop. I'm going to pause you again. No. You get to experience what poor Brendan Vogt or Harrison Wynn get to experience when they have to read ads and you guys won't stop talking.
Wow.
So, haha, Eric.
What? I don't understand. Whatever. Okay. The Denver Nuggets won the week. Why? Because they had their brother, one of their core players go down, Jamal Murray. And they've only rallied since then. They've won every game since he has departed, sadly. They have become stronger as a unit. They've learned more and more about themselves. They've changed the style of play, and they have codified into a real title contender. We had 8 glorious games where they were a complete team. Then now they are deficient in a different way, but they're learning how to play all behind MVP Nikola Jokic, who's only strengthened his case. The Denver Nuggets won the week because they have become real. This sucks.
Hello.
I would like some instant replay, some robo umps. I'm throwing the yellow flag on the what?
Okay.
My man.
Darko was in here like, I've been waiting for half an hour for Nuggets discussion. So it threw me off. We talked about them so the show has been 54 minutes. We talked about them before 20 minutes into the podcast. So I'm sorry, Darko, but you got to go listen back. So I got distracted. Yeah. Sorry.
And while we are live, Darko, you can rewind and watch the beginning of the show right now and then get caught up later. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. So I'm sorry you haven't had Nuggets discussion just yet, but it happened earlier. Drew.
Yeah.
He said sorry. No, you're fine. I'm just letting you know so that you're aware that you can go listen to some Nuggets talk before the Nuggets pregame show a little earlier in the pod. All right. Drew, go.
Yeah. Well, so the Rockies won 2 baseball games in a row, which technically counts as a sweep. Who won the World Series not that long ago, and so the Colorado Rockies win the week. Look, they won baseball games. The starting pitching has been fantastic. The rest of the team exists, but their starting pitching has been absolutely fantastic. They won 2 baseball games. They're not going to have a lot of other opportunities for DNVR. I'm Drew Kreisman here on this team.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to include the ending. I'm sorry, Andre. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It was 32 seconds, but.
2 in a row.
Okay. All right, AJ. Why did the Avs win the week?
They didn't. The Nuggets did.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop.
What do you mean? The Avs secured the play.
The Avs just took care of business. The best yet to come for the Avs.
Fourth year in a row.
Yeah, so what? Making the playoffs is step 1.
There's 12 games left.
So what?
That's great.
Yeah, they've
been
awesome.
They won the week.
No.
They haven't lost in regulation since 21 games.
They were in COVID for the whole week. What are you talking about? They played one game.
they won the one game. They clinched the playoff berth. It was a formality. It was fine. What the Nuggets did without Jamal Murray was significantly more important than what the Avs did this week.
I agree that what the Nuggets said was important, but I'm just saying, as an Avs argument, there is an Avs argument.
Oh, I mean, like moderator. They clinched the postseason. They won their only game. They're fine. Like, they're in fine position, but who won the week? And as always, I'm going to be honest, it was the Nuggets. What the Nuggets did this week was way more important.
Can I have the Avs just so I can catch that dub?
Yeah, you can. Do you want me to give you 30 more seconds?
It feels dirty and wrong to bail on the Rockies in one of the few weeks where they're going to have won 2 baseball games.
They're going to win more baseball games, sure. They're going to do it.
I like the positive.
Not nearly as terrible as I thought they were potentially going to be.
You know, silver linings.
They can't won the week.
Silver linings. Go vote on who won the week on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Go watch DMVR Bets daily. They'll be talking about Nuggets bets, Rockies bets, and other stuff. So that's a great show. Rockies podcast coming up. Then you've got Nuggets pregame. Then you've got Nuggets postgame. It is a busy night at DNVR, like it always is. follow us on YouTube. Give this video a like. Subscribe. All we see you guys next week. Oh, it didn't work. Nope.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.